sixth chapter of Matthew. We're continuing with this theme of the blessed life, living the blessed life. I know that there's, we spent the service last weekend just giving you the biblical basis for the truth that God is a blesser. He wants to bless you. Then we identified from the Word of God what that was. What is it? What is it? Does that mean that we're going to have lots of money? Does that mean that everything is always going to go our way? Not necessarily, but it does mean that the hand of God is upon your life. That you have His goodness, His welfare, His favor, His blessing upon your life. We quoted from that verse in Deuteronomy, that it would go well with thee. That's what we want. We want to know that we've got the hand of the Lord upon our life. I think for too long, Christians have had the mentality, well, we're just in this world and we're not of the world. And we know that that's true and that we're going to be, we're not going to have any significance or any importance. But I want you to know that the church is the most wonderful thing in this world. It's the most wonderful thing. It's made up of a great company of people, many of them that you won't meet in this life, but in eternity, we're going to have all eternity to get acquainted with these multiplied millions of people around the world who've lived for generations and have served God. Some of them have sacrificed and even have given of their lives for the cause of the gospel. And this is the best life you can live this side of heaven. Amen. Serving Jesus. Amen. We're going to read here, though, in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at a number of verses today. Last week, we talked about how you're going to live this blessed life. It starts off with a life of obedience. We talked about the principle of obedience. Today, we're going to talk about the principle of first. The principle of first. Putting God first in every area of your life. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Then you put Him first in your life. And I can assure you, you will experience His blessing upon your life. We're going to read in Matthew 6 and read beginning in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that's an important section of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is probably the greatest sermon ever preached. Jesus himself preached the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, he gives the principles of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that you and I can become a part of when we're born again of the Spirit. It's the only way to gain entrance into this kingdom. You have to get saved. I mean really saved. Born again of the Spirit of God. It's the only way that you can become a part of this kingdom. In the scripture here in Matthew 6:33, it says that we are to seek. We use that word a lot in the last few weeks. Pursue that, the thing that you are desiring the most. Seek first. It's talking about order or priorities, the order of your life. What is at the top of the list in your life? Seek first, in order of importance. Nothing else is to be more important than these two things that are listed here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those two things are to be a priority in your walk with the Lord. Now, as I described just a moment ago, that we gain entrance, and it starts with being born again of the Spirit. Those that are not saved have a hard time understanding the principles of the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, when you study the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll see that in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down from what it is in the world. The world views things completely opposite of the way that things are in the kingdom of God. The world says if you want to receive and have things, then you hold on to them and you hoard them and you save them. But in the kingdom of God, it's just the opposite of that. It's giving. When you give, then you receive. And you'll see that principle taught all through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is dealing with. In this kingdom, everything is opposite. And when you become a Christian, everything that's going on in the world, even the way you think in the world, it's opposite. And really, a good rule of thumb is to think, how would we normally do in the world when we come with a particular question or problem in our life? And a lot of the times, it'll be exactly the opposite of the way you would normally face a problem that would be the real spiritual and biblical answer doing it. Because in the kingdom of God, everything is upside down. Everything is different than it is in the thinking and the ways of this world. You remember when the disciples, there in the book of Acts, that they entered into different cities and villages and they preached and they complained and they said, these have come hither and they have turned our world upside down. And all they were really doing is turning it right side up. Because when you're living in sin, your world is upside down. But when you get saved, then everything gets in its proper perspective, proper order, biblical order. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And we know that in a kingdom, there's a ruler. There's one that's a sovereign one, a supreme one, a king. And in this kingdom, we know that Jesus Christ is that one that we serve. And we serve him first. Above all, we serve the Lord. John chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't get saved. You can't understand the things of God, the kingdom of God. You can't, except a man be born again, you can't see. The word means you can't perceive it. You can't understand it. You can't comprehend the things of the kingdom of God until you get saved. You got to get saved. A lot of people say, I can't serve God. I can't live that way. How could I ever live that kind of a life? Well, you can't understand how that you could, and you certainly can't see how that it could be the best life. You need to get a new perspective. You need to get a new set of eyes. Your life needs to be turned around by a real, genuine salvation experience by coming to Jesus Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive the things of the kingdom of God. We know that the carnal man, he can't conceive of, he can't understand the things of the Spirit of God. But when you get saved, then you come into a whole new perspective. Amen. Now, this kingdom is a kingdom that is not the big concern when Jesus was born. It was Herod's problem. He was concerned. And it is the problem that people were concerned about, that there was even the Pharisees and the Sadducees were always asking the question, where is this kingdom going to be? Where will it point it out to us? Show us. Luke 17 and 20. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, or it's not something that you can see. It's not something you can see. It's not something that's outward or physical or tangible. This kingdom, verse 21, then he says, neither shalt thou say, lo, it's here, or lo, it's there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. This is a kingdom that Christ sets up in your heart, in your life, and your life becomes committed to Jesus Christ. It's not a physical kingdom, and it was a confusing concept to those that Jesus was talking to and teaching them. And only the people that got born again could understand that this is the kingdom of God, and it is in your heart when you get saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. This kingdom is Christ sitting on the throne of your life. He's in control. He's in charge. Luke 1 and 32. I'm just giving you a few verses here to establish this foundation for this truth today. Luke 1, 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So this is a kingdom that is in the hearts of men. It's not physical. You can't see it. It's not tangible. God takes control of your life, takes control of your heart. And so it's spiritual in nature, and it's eternal in nature. Amen. When you live and you put God first and you live with Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, the King, the ruler of your life, this is an eternal kingdom. Praise God. It's going to continue beyond this life, beyond this world. And there's a lot of questions that people have, I know, because whenever we talk about the first, putting God first in your life, it's a very convicting thing. And as I was going through many of these scriptures and preparing for this service today, very convicting to me. And so I'm sitting right with you here this morning. I've already kind of been through the ringer as the Lord dealt with me through these principles of the Word of God. But you have to ask yourself the hard questions. Am I giving my life and my energies and my resources? Have I truly given them to God first and above everything else? Am I doing that? Am I living out my life for my own desires, my own pleasures? Am I living out my life and doing with my time and my money and my goods and my energies and all that I have? Am I putting God first? You want to be blessed of the Lord? You really want to live this life that is a life that can guarantee the blessing of God, God's hand upon you, God's favor upon your life, all the days of your life? Put Jesus first. Put Jesus first. And seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first to put yourself under the authority and the leadership, the lordship of Jesus Christ. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. His righteousness is dealing with the change that takes place in your life so that your character is changed. Your righteousness has to do with that relationship horizontally. Those with your fellow men, with your brothers, and how that you deal with those in life on a daily basis. So this is a spiritual kingdom within your heart. You have a heart change and a character change so that you begin to live your life out and you're demonstrating the character of Jesus Christ. So you're seeking His kingdom and you're seeking His character in your life to be not only under His lordship, but to be like Him. To be like Him and to live out the days of your life to be like Jesus. Now, there is a war going on. There is this conflict. And we read in this text today that no man can serve two masters. And there is always this pull, this tugging and clamoring for your attention and your devotion and your desires. It can be a lot of different things that wants to have first place in your life. And no man, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I know that usually that's translated mammon as money, but the strictest sense of the word is just things. The things of this world. What this world has to offer. It can be in possessions or a lot of things that this world. You can't serve God and other things of this world. You have to put Him first in your life by consciously making decisions. No, I'm going to put God first. Now, how seriously does God take this? Remember a few months ago, we went through the Ten Commandments. And there's nothing more convicting than those commandments as you deal with those personally in your heart. The first one, which was foundational, if you remember, when we were going through the Ten Commandments, we talked about how that the first commandment was like the foundation for all of the rest of the commandments. And the first four commandments dealt with your relationship with God, and the last six, your relationship with each other, with your fellow men. And the first one is like the bedrock, foundation, that God says, thou shalt have no other God before me. I have to be first. I have to be the one and only. I have to be more important to you than anything that this world has to offer. You know, the enemy, he knows how to make an appeal to you. He knows the things that easily grab hold of the heartstrings of your heart and to pull you away from the things of God. A lot of times, it's not sinful things. It's just things of this world. Sometimes it's just the cares of this life. It's just the daily responsibilities and duties of life that begin to pull you away from God and displace God from that first place in your life. But He doesn't want to be in any other place except for first. The commandment that's foundational to how we are to live and what we're to believe as far as our relationship with God is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Nothing. God is saying nothing in your life can be more important than me. So ask yourself the question, the hard questions. What am I doing? What am I? Am I living out my life and I'm putting God first in my life? Or is my life all wrapped up in myself? I mentioned this a few times, but people take these pictures all the time. Sometimes they'll take six or eight of them a day and put them up on Facebook. They're called selfies. They're appropriately titled selfies because people are selfish and they're all wrapped up in themselves and take pictures of themselves. And when someone takes a picture of me and puts it up there, I'm thinking, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want that up there. But I think that it kind of, in just a very simple way, illustrates what is going on, that people are so wrapped up in themselves and their own lives and what is important to them. And really, if God is first in your life, then it'll affect everything you do. It'll affect the decisions that you make, the life that you live. It'll affect your day-to-day decisions and the walk with God that you have. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The principle of first is a Bible principle that runs all through the Scripture. Next week, we're going to talk about the principle of the tithe, which really ties right in with this principle of the first. But we're not dealing specifically with that today. But if you'll look with me in Exodus 13:2, going back to some Old Testament verses that deal with this principle of the first. Exodus 13:2, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. Now, the principle that God established was in the 16 different times in the scripture, he used that terminology. The firstborn belongs to me. The first of your flocks, the first of your increase, the first of everything that you have, the first belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. He says, it is mine. What about your life? What about your daily walk with the Lord, your daily experience? Is God first in your life? Does he get the first part of your day? Does he get the first part of your week? Hopefully you're here today, not just out of exercise and religious obligation, but you're here today because you want to honor the Lord on the Lord's day. Amen. And you give this first day of the week to the Lord. How about the first part of your day, when you start your day, to give there's first moments of the day, maybe minutes or however long, to a time that you can give to God, give to time to the scriptures, time to meditation, time to prayer. How much time? I'm not designated or even saying how much time. I'm just saying God wants your first attention. He wants your first heart. And when you wake up in the morning, that your focus is not on anything else, but that your mind immediately turns toward the things of God. Amen. And you look to God. You look to the Bible. You look to the Word of God, and you meditate on it. You spend time in the presence of the Lord to start at your day, the first part of your day. Jesus did that. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He began his day alone and went aside to a quiet, solitary place there, and that was his practice, and it is the practice, I believe, of many, many Christians who've committed themselves to the Lord and have made him first in their life. Here's a quote from George Mueller. The first and great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was how I might get my soul into a happy state. It's an interesting way of saying it, isn't it? And how my inner man might be nourished. It says that Mueller, his comments were that the most important thing that I had to do was to get myself to the reading of the Word of God and to the meditation on it. And he would spend that time until, he said, I would feel like my soul was happy. Amen. I don't know how long that takes. For some, it might be quick. Others, it may take a little bit longer, depending on how you slept the night before. But time with the Lord. Does God get the first part of your day? Does he get the first part of your week? I pray that he does. Remember also when we were back in the going through the Ten Commandments last fall, we talked one entire message on the commandment about the Sabbath day and the Christian Lord's Day being not a Saturday Sabbath, but a Sunday Lord's Day. And the whole principle was the spirit of the Sabbath. We're not under the law, and you've heard people say that. We're not under the bondage of the law. We're not under the law of the Sabbath. No, we're not. We're not under the law of the Sabbath. You got to remember that the Lord's Day is not a law. The Lord's Day is to be, according to the Word of God, it's to be a day of honoring the Lord. It's really a day to celebrate the goodness of God, the blessing of the Lord. When we come together to worship the Lord, then we are we're rejoicing. I think a lot of it has to do that we have a wrong perspective on the Lord's Day. You remember that the children of Israel spent all of those years and years and years in bondage, 7 days a week, that they were slaves and they labored under the harsh taskmasters there in Egypt. But when they're delivered from that, then they're able to enjoy the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath was not something that they said, oh, we have to be under the law of the Sabbath. No. The person who really has a right perspective on the Lord's Day doesn't look at it that way. Instead, you think, oh, all of those years I was under the bondage of sin, and now I'm delivered. So on the Lord's Day,
I just come and I worship God and I praise God for a day that I don't have to labor from sunup to sundown like I used to under that old Egyptian taskmaster. But now I can celebrate the goodness of God, the deliverance of God, His power in my life. And so whenever we come on the Lord's Day, we're not under the thumb of God to say, you've got to serve me on Sunday. You've got to set that day aside. The right perspective is that we are to celebrate it and to praise God for what He's done and how He's saved you and provided for you. Amen. That's the spirit of the Sabbath. It's a time to honor God and to recognize that the Lord's Day is a gift from God. And so we honor the Lord with this day. Thank God for modern examples of businessmen like David Green and Hobby Lobby, who shuts his business down and has since it begun some 30 years ago. And does not operate his business on Sunday. And is it to hurt him? No. He's suffering a little bit now for some of the stands that he's taking. And praise God for people like that who will stand for right principles even in their business. But he shut it down. And Truett Cathy shut Chick-fil-A down on Sunday. Praise God for people. Did it hurt them? No. They're still multimillionaires. And God's honored them and blessed them that they have... treated the Lord's Day as a day to honor God and to celebrate the goodness of God. Put Him first in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. Allow God to work in your life in such a special way. The first part of your day, the first part of the week, make Him first in all that you do. Some other Old Testament verses dealing with first fruits. That's terminology you'll read about all through the Old Testament. Proverbs 23 and verse 19, it says, "The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt, the first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God." The first of the first fruits. That means the increase of their fields, the increase of their flocks, whatever in ways that they were increased. Notice that it says the first of their first fruits. And I guess really as I looked into that, it's really talking about the best of their first fruits. That they would bring their very best to God and give it to God. I've been, you know, around the ministry a long time. And this is a pet peeve. If you've ever done this, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you, but just please don't ever do it again. I have seen people clear out their shed or something and say, "Well, I don't really want to take that to Goodwill." And then they'll say, "I'll just take down the church. Maybe they can use it down there." Oh, we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need your cast-offs and your throwaways. We need your best. Amen. Amen. Bring your best. Bring your best. And offer that to the Lord. Some of you got mad at me when I said that, but it's just the truth. Bring the best of the best. That's what it's saying. The first of the first fruits. Bring your best to God. And offer that unto the Lord. By the way, I also identifies where the tithe goes to. It says, to the house of the Lord. Amen. We'll go into that next week in a greater detail. But the first fruits, the first of your increase that God gives to you. And it was a tremendous test of their faith. Tremendous test, because the first of their increase would be given to God as a test of that God, believing that God was going to continue to provide for them and to supply for them. And it was a test for them to be able to say, "I'm going to put God first in all that I do, and I'm going to honor the Lord with it." Amen. So the tithe goes to the house of God. Don't go to the TV preacher or the radio ministry, although I believe in supporting the radio ministry. But not your tithe. Not the first fruits. Not to the missionary, not to the guest preacher, not to anyone like that. You bring it to the house of God. That's what the Bible says. Give it to God. Give it to God. Proverbs 3 and 9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Honoring the Lord with your first fruits. It's an interesting word there, to honor. It's the Hebrew word kabod, which means weighty or glory. That you recognize the significance of the first fruits, that it is brought to the Lord as worship. Amen. The weightiness of it, the glory of God. You honor the Lord with your first fruits. You don't do it just as an exercise in what you just do week after week after week, but you do it with your heart, and you're giving to God and you're bringing it to God. It belongs to the Lord, and it's an indication of what's going on in your heart. That you love the Lord, that you're committed to God, and you're serving Him with your whole heart. It's really worship. And whenever we focus our attention on giving God first in every area of our life, there's no greater worship than that. Honoring the Lord and causing the Lord to be first in your life. Romans 11 and 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and the root be holy, so are the branches. What is the scripture saying there in Romans 11 and verse 16? That when you bring the first fruit to God, when you give first to God, then everything else is holy or sanctified. God touches it. He honors it. He blesses that. Everything else is blessed and is honored when you bring it and offer first to God. Amen. Put Him first in your time, in your possessions, in your strength, your energies, your priorities, in the list of the order of your life. God is to be first. Amen. And this is an important key to living a life that's blessed. Because every day of your life, your focus is upon, I want to put God first in this. I want to make sure that my decisions are pleasing to God. And I don't want to just be careless, but I want to serve God, and this seems like the right thing to do, but I'm gonna call upon the Lord. I'm gonna always go to God, and I'm always gonna put Him first before everything and everyone. That's true of family. God is before family. God is before business. God is before money. God is before everything. Amen. Amen. How does this happen? It starts with getting born again. You have to get saved. And then from that time on, you allow God to establish you in your life under His lordship, in His kingdom, as He teaches you His character and develops in you the right ways of the Lord. Then you put Him first in all that you do, and you enjoy His blessings upon your life. Amen. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're always going to have a gigantic bank account, or that everything is going to be going great in every area of your life. We do have tests, we do have trials, but it's a promise from God that if you'll put God first, that everything else, God will make sure that it's set apart, it's blessed, it's sanctified, and God will take care of you if you'll trust Him. Amen. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. God will take care of all of your needs, your basic needs. He'll supply everything that you have need of if you'll put Him first in your life. Praise God. Amen. One more verse. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Amen. Loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything. That you give your all into service to God and the kingdom of God. And that's the part that's very convicting. Because if we'll be honest before the Lord this morning, there's some areas of our life that we kind of hold in reserve. We hold back on. We're not truly devoting and committing all of these things to the Lord. He wants all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. He wants you completely, entirely, devoted to Him and to the advancement of the kingdom of God. And there's no greater joy than living this kind of a life. Amen. Amen. No greater joy. Amen. Than living out the days of your life, pleasing the Lord and putting Him first in all that you do. Seek first the kingdom. Make that the priority. Set the order and the priority right in your life. God first, everything else down the list of priorities. Amen. So ask yourself the hard questions here this morning. Are you making Christ first in every way? If you really seriously consider that, you'll realize that there's some areas where you're failing. You're coming up short. You're not really giving Him the first in your life. And that's what we want to pray about here this morning in this service. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When you come to Jesus, become a Christian, then you to become a part of this kingdom, that means you lay down all of your pursuits, all of your desires, all of your goals, everything that was important to you, you put it all aside and you put Jesus at the top. You put the things of God, the Word of God, the kingdom of God. That's what it means to seek His kingdom. Are you doing that? Sometimes people look at people that just have become extremely devoted and dedicated to God like that they're a little strange and a little extreme in their commitment. But that's really what God wants. He wants all of you, all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, everything. Amen. This would be a good time this morning if you're not a Christian, if you're not serving the Lord, to let the Lord change your life. Start out today in the pursuit of this kingdom. A calling upon the Lord. If you're not a Christian, I pray that you won't let this day pass, but what you call upon God and you surrender your life, everything, into the hands of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Some of the rest of us, we've known the Lord, served the Lord for a long time, but if we'll be honest, a lot of other things have become more important to us than His kingdom. A lot of things more important than serving God, honoring the Lord. We need to make some adjustments. We need to ask the Lord to make some changes in our lives, in our hearts, here today.